And to help us through that is the founder of Living Hope, Pastor John Thomas, who's going to chat to us about what the situation is currently. Good evening to you, Pastor, and thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Jason, and to your listeners. Great to be with you again.
Great stuff. Look, we can't stop talking enough about what happened in Masipumulele. And obviously a serious tragedy for at least 1,000 homes and thousands of people in the particular process. What is the situation at present? How many people have gotten shelter? How many people have, and how many more people need shelter?
All right. To answer your question directly, nobody has formally got into any rebuilt home at all because the city is still clearing the land of debris and trying to level it. It's actually a wetland. The Gauteng listeners may not be familiar with it, but so they're trying to actually create a more stable land and put one or two rivulets type of in to help it drain. I gather they're also planning to put in electric poles and so on. And only once the city has got the land completely cleared of all debris and got it leveled will they be in a position to issue some sort of starter kit, as they call it, to rebuild the home. Now, we had originally hoped that that would have been about tomorrow. We're certainly 2 or 3 days away. And I'm not even sure that we'll make it in time for Christmas. But the plan is that hopefully, if all goes according to plan, we would be able to issue folk with bedding, clothing, mattresses, two-plate stove, a big food hamper and everything on Thursday, in other words, on Christmas Eve, so that there is some form of shelter for them by Friday. However, you know, there is no way that every single home will get rebuilt in a matter of 24 hours because how you get 1,000, what they call these starter kits, basically, into a site. So it's obviously going to take a couple of days. And so the relief aid collection still continues at Living Hope at a fast pace with loads of volunteers and lots of very generous people. Out of what I can only think is 702, we've had people send stuff by Take-A-Lot from Joburg, so or some, you know, Pretoria or Joburg. So we've also had wonderful donations come into the fire disaster bank account, which is going to enable me tomorrow to effectively purchase a double bed blanket, a good quality one, for every single person who is involved. So basically 4,000 blankets. I'm getting that directly from a factory, a blanket factory here in Cape Town. So we have got mountains of stuff outside. The generosity of Cape Townians has been exceptional. And you spoke about how everyone has been so moved by this fire. It's been amazing to see what an incredible spirit of Ubuntu there is in this country. Boy, everybody has got involved, and we have seen, we have a reasonably big development or site ourselves, Living Hope, with quite a lot of, you know, acreage, and there's a complete stream of cars coming in all the time, bringing stuff. It only tails off at about 7 in the evening and starts from 8 in the morning. And one is overwhelmed. We have so much sorting to do. And if Cape Townians are listening, we still need volunteers tomorrow and Wednesday. Certainly, we've been able to get more containers, shipping containers now on site to store the goods, because the weather changes don't look particularly good later in the week for Cape Town. So we're not exactly sure. We don't want anything outside while we wait for the site to be adequately prepared and then the houses built.
I mean, that for me is really an important issue that you're raising there. You know, and especially how people can assist, because we know that all too often people want to assist. Sometimes it can be a bit scatterbrained. Everyone sends a can of baked beans or everyone sends blankets, but, you know, there's an oversupply and there's an undersupply of other things. What is the best means for people to coordinate? Obviously, coordinate through yourself and many other organizations assisting in this instance, but what is the greatest need, and how do people get it there, you know, get it to the end user, the person that actually needs it, from Masipumulele?
All right, so basically what is happening is all the donations are brought by people in one or two pickup points in the city of Cape Town. I'm aware Wynberg Fire Station is one. And so everything is brought to Living Hope, and it's no good taking it to the fire site because the people have nothing and they're not even allowed onto the site because all the bulldozers are there. So to actually take somebody, you know, bedding and mattresses, what do you do with it if you're homeless? I mean, there are people with their children. I've seen their blankets where they sleep basically on a crude form of pavement. And so we're not talking about living in luxury, but the other Masipumulelians have been amazing in taking people into our home. We have one of the ladies who works for us at Living Hope. She said to me, John, this was on the night of the fire, she said, I had three strange people I've never met sharing my double bed with me. Now, that just shows the spirit of people, of care and of love, and of help, you know, helping each other. It's just been an outpouring of great love and generosity. When the city announced that they were going to clear the site, and there's no doubt because of all the debris, I mean, people were falling and cutting themselves on torn up debris. It is the right decision to clear the site because there's no way you could ever remove all that debris if there were shacks or rebuilt shacks all over the place. So, while it's a frustrating delay, it's a long-term positive. But we cannot issue anything to anybody until they've got a place to put it in. And so the mountain of work continues of receiving at Living Hope, sorting, because somebody comes with a black bag, there's shoes, and there's a tin of baked beans, to use your word, and then there's a pillow, and then there's a child's toy. Now, they all go to four different sections because we've got children's toys here, hygiene items here. We've got, you know, clothing. Literally, we have a 200-seater hall, and that is chock-a-block to the roof. I mean, it is an unbelievable sight. I've not ever seen a mountain of clothing in my life, but that's what we've got. And so it is wonderful, the response, but we are still sorting and storing. And when the houses are, the shacks are ready, then we can release into the people's housing situations. We had hoped on Christmas Eve to give them a good food parcel as well, so that they had something to have a little bit of Christmas cheer. But I'm getting increasingly uncertain that there will be many people in any form of dwelling by Christmas Day. So
it's very worrisome. It's very worrisome and very tragic, actually. Pastor, just as a final thought, where are those people currently? Where are they being accommodated, or, you know, albeit temporarily, or just someone trying to do something about the situation?
With family and friends and neighbors, it's the only thing that one can say. You know, the community halls are limited in size, and they're two or three church buildings, but they can take 150, maybe 200 people sleeping at a really push, and then there's no social distancing or anything like that. And this COVID time in Western Cape's not in a good shape with COVID at the moment. So they're staying in other people's homes, and I mean, it's incredible. That's what I say, the generosity. Let me just say, at the same time, feeding is going on. Living Hope has been providing breakfast for 5,000 people every morning. The Gift of the Givers and SASA have now kicked in to provide a main meal around 3 or 4 in the afternoon, but we did that on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. and we're glad that others have come in to lighten the burden. But it is a wonderful cooperative event, and when you see this, it is the Rainbow Nation that Nelson Mandela dreamed about, of everybody working together and everybody helping each other. And, you know, times of tragedy like this are hard, but they're also amazing to see what South Africans are really made of when trauma and trouble hits.
No, that's true. People are generous. They come forward. They definitely assist. And Pastor, all the best to you as well as the residents of Masipumelele. Hopefully we can get them through this particular process. And obviously thank you to the people who have been assisting thus far. Sure. Is there a website? Is there a telephone number that people can reach out to?
Yep. If they're in Cape Town, we're on Komiki Road, Capri, which is right next door to Masipumelele. There's a brand new road which has just been built, Komiki Road, and it goes from 4 lanes to 2 lane at our gate. And so it's a very simple marker. When the road becomes a 2-lane in the direction of Komiki, that's the Living Hope gate. The website is livinghope, one word, .co.za. And if they want to donate, as I'm sure many of your Gauteng listeners do, and again, thank you to the Gautengers and the Cape Townians who've done that. But you literally go straight onto the website. How you can give, you hit that tab, and it goes straight to the Mossy Fire button. So really, once they're on, it's 2 clicks to put the money wherever they want to help with. And as I say, you know, tomorrow, without that, it's about 611,000 I'm spending just on blankets. So you can imagine the scale of this thing. This is not at the scale of every 50 Rand helps, but we're talking into the hundreds of thousands of Rands that are needed to fully give people some hope, some dignity, and some replacement of what they've lost.
I hear you. Pastor, thank you so much. All the best to you, and great work that you're doing, and all the best to the people that need the help.
Thanks so much to the stations for your coverage of it. Appreciate that too.
Thank you. Thank you. That was Pastor John Thomas, founder of Living Hope. It's 18 minutes past 10.